Hey, everybody, I'm back. This is DJ Aquarius here. Thanks for joining me for another episode of Just Saying here at radio.dominican.edu. This is the show where you can get all of your pop culture and entertainment news every week. So today is my second week, and I already have a special treat for you guys. But before I introduce this treat, I am going to put that off for a short period of time and bring in my very first segment of What is Poppin'. So this segment is going to be about what is going on in our world today, pop culture-wise. And I'm going to start with Mario Lopez. Yeah, him, the guy with the cute dimples. Okay, so he is about to be a father for the second time. Lopez and his wife, his wife Courtney Maza, already have a 2-year-old daughter named Gia. Their new baby is due sometime in September. And interestingly enough, Michael Jackson's son, Prince Michael Jackson Jr., is following in his famous father's footsteps, but not in music, but he is going into show business. The 16-year-old is now Entertainment Tonight's newest correspondent. Prince Jackson's first interviewees were none other than James Franco, Zach Braff, and Sam Raimi for the upcoming film Oz the Great and Powerful. Now, I don't know how many of you know this or remember, but Prince Michael's father, Michael Jackson, was actually in The Wiz, which was a different version of The Wizard of Oz back in the 1970s, and it was a fun, very soulful movie. And Prince revealed in an interview that in the future he intends to be a director, a film producer, an actor. Prince's younger sister, 14-year-old Paris Jackson, has already gotten a head start on acting. She is set to star in the upcoming movie, London's Bridge and the Three Keys. It's a film for young adults, but there is yet to be a release date. And this past Sunday, President Barack Obama was seen playing golf with none other than the golf champ himself, Tiger Woods. The duo were said to have played a round of golf at the Floridian, a secluded and exclusive yacht and golf club on Florida's Treasure Island coast. That is where the president spent his President's Day weekend. So I wish I could have said that I spent my weekend on a Floridian coast, but unfortunately, I was stuck at home writing a 4-page English paper. So that was me. But anyway, that's all for today's edition of What's Poppin'. I'm going to take a quick music break, and when I come back, you guys will find out what special treat I have here in the studio. So stick with me. This is DJ Aquarius, and you're listening to Just Sayin' here at radio.dominican.edu.
Something ain't right. My best friend told me what you did last night. dancing tomorrow night. It's cold out there, but it's warm in bed. They can dance, we'll stay home and stare. Wake me up before you go, go. Leave me hanging on like a yo-yo. Wake me up before you go, go. I don't wanna miss it when you hit that high. Wake me up before you go, go. Cause I'm not planning on going solo. Wake me up before you go, go. Take me dancing tonight.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Just Saying here at radio.dominican.edu. I'm your host, DJ Aquarius, and this is the show where you can get all of your entertainment and pop culture news. Now, before the break, I promised all of you a special treat, and he's here in the studio with me now. So, everybody, please give a big warm welcome to DJ Mr. Todd.
Good afternoon.
Oh, good afternoon. Thank you for being here. So anyway, you're a good friend of mine, and you are also the newest DJ here at radio.dominican.edu. So, and you also have a new show that is going to be on air here at radio.dominican.edu. Can you tell us about it?
That is correct. Well, thank you, first and foremost, for having me on. I do have a radio show, which is currently in the works, and we're scheduled to start March 1st, the first week of March. It's going to be on Wednesdays, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. The show is called It's a Man's World.
Oh, okay.
Men Touring Their World. We talk about the basics of manhood. We talk about the complex things of manhood, relationships, finance, parenting, dating, you name it. We're going to be talking about that. Just the male's point of view.
Oh, okay. Very good. Now, what made you want to bring this to the forefront? What made you want to highlight these issues or this topic?
Good question. I just want to just give something positive to say about males in society. It seems as though we've been bashed pretty bad, and a lot of males don't even understand what it is to be a man. So I just help men out and help women to understand males a little bit better, because, you know, we both need each other.
Yes, it's true.
We beat up each other, seem like we're at odds with each other, and then man is badly man. And so we can give the help, build those healthy relationships, and we can be a better society. We can help out the next generation that's following.
Okay. Now, I'm actually interested in, because it seems to me that you're saying that you feel like men nowadays have a kind of a negative stereotype. So I'm kind of interested in that. But before I do that, I do want to say I have worked with you before, once before last Friday on Finding Your Voice with DJ Noni, and that was a lot of fun. And you're really a natural when it comes to speaking on air. So can you tell us what it is that you like about working in radio? You didn't believe that cow jumped over that moon.
So that's when it all started. It's like, whoa, a cow jumped over the moon. That must be a pretty powerful cow to jump over the moon. So I always ask those questions. But I love debate. I do not argue. I always call them hefty debates.
Ah, okay. Okay, I see. Very interesting. So has it always been a dream of yours to work in radio?
One of my many dreams.
Oh, okay, very good. Mini dreams. Oh my goodness, we have a dreamer here. That's awesome. Very good. So we were talking earlier about, you said that you felt like men maybe have a negative stereotype in here in the 21st century. Can you tell me about that? I mean, what makes you feel that way?
Well, I guess over the last 2 years, 20 years, that we have taken a beating in media, in public eye. And especially when rap music started taking off, we've really taken a step backwards in terms of role modeling and being what it is, a true man. So there are many definitions out there. You know, my generation, we've always revered the minister, the hardworking man, whether you're the mechanic, the banker,
things of that nature. But nowadays, if you do not have the bling, you don't have the car, you don't have the women or the big house, you're not a man. That's right. That generation's definition of a man. So we can merge all that together, my generation and their generation, we can have a better understanding.
Right. Now, here's a question, because rap music for a very long time was pretty male dominated, and it still is. So do you feel like men were responsible for the stereotype given to men, or do you feel like that stereotype was given to you by a different group?
I'm hesitant to use the word responsible. I can't really say that it was man who really put it, the males who put it in this predicament. The thing that most concerns me is that you put something out there, you have, as an individual, the right to go out and research that. Is that true, or what that individual is saying? They're only telling nursery rhymes. They're only telling things that appeals, that sounds good. Just because someone says that, hey, I drunk all night from 6 a.m. to 6 a.m., that's impossible to do without getting drunk. And you're promoting alcoholism, and it's unnecessary.
Right.
So what do you believe? And a lot of people start believing some of these ghetto myths or mainstream myths that if you drink this certain drink or if you have this certain kind of chemical in your body that you're a better person. So you really have to investigate what's really going on. What are they truly saying? Is it a story? Like we were talking earlier off air about reality TV. Right. Is it scripted or is it real?
That's true. That's true. And I mean, something else that we were talking about before we were on air is I was saying that a lot of these rap stars and people, men in the public eye, are actually, some of them are actually very dedicated family men. But when you watch them in the music videos, they give you this image of, you know, always womanizing, always drinking, always doing drugs, big flashy cars. Do you think that it would help younger men to know that a lot of these men actually go home and they're actually just very dedicated to their wives and children? Or do you think that's it's an unhealthy image that they're putting out there, and that they should be more truthful about their lives?
I believe that they have a right to do what they're doing. It is called art and entertainment. It's an art, and they're entertaining. It's up to the viewer or the listener to really determine what's going on, what's the truth. If that person, the rapper per se, or whoever, I'm not laying all the earnest on the rappers, but if they have something to sell and they found a way to gimmick that product, oh sure, make all the money you can. It is the consumer who has the right, the responsibility to go out there and research it. I recall a few years back, a rapper was asked, I would not reveal that rapper's name, you know, he was talking pretty bad about women, and someone said, hey, you have a daughter, she's of age now, she's like 13 or 14, are you going to allow her to do the things that you say that you're doing to other people's children? No, my daughter doesn't listen. Why not? My daughter's off limits. So why is it that you can say what you want to say about our daughters and our sons, but your daughter's off limits? So I do believe that behind the scenes, they're decent individuals, human beings who believe in the American dream. That right now they just put it on a facade.
Right.
So, but then again, there are cases too whereby some cannot come out of the character.
That's true. That is very true. There's far too many of those. So who was a childhood hero for you? Because I'm wondering, you're talking about what it is to be a real man and things like that. So, I mean, was there, you know, a childhood hero for you? Somebody that stood out as a real man that you think their image should be further promoted?
No, there wasn't one person in particular. Because when I grew up in the Midwest. We grew up in a little community. And every male there was my hero.
Okay.
Because every morning they got up and worked, they came home, they paid the bills, make sure we ate, make sure we were clothed, and spent time with us, you know. And that was my hero, the males of that. It was my big brother, it was my uncle, maybe it was the man next door, the grocerer, the butcher, the mailman, the preacher, the truck driver, all of those guys, the school teacher were my heroes.
Right. Very good. So, but in terms of show business, was there anybody that you think projected a great image of what a man? I mean, Mr. Rogers, for example, I know he's always had the image of being soft, but, you know, here's a man that always, you know, represented being kind to people, loving children, loving your spouse, being a clean, decent person. I mean, Bill Cosby, for example? I mean, is there somebody in the public eye who you think represents well what a real man should be or is?
You know, television for me back in the day when I was in my formative years was non-existent. We only had three stations,
three,
six, and 12.
That would be scary for
and,
me.
And growing up, and growing up in the rural Midwest, we had the freedom to go out and play, to explore, to do things with our hands, and to enjoy nature.
Right.
And so sitting around watching television wasn't one of the norms for me. We listened to radios when we went to bed at night. And I've always wanted to be, hey, this is Wolfman Jack talking to you live, da 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 da. So I've always wanted to be like him. So I never had a chance to meet him, but Wolfman Jack was my guy.
Oh, okay.
It was just something about him. I never met him, but it was just his voice, and I've always wanted to emulate that. And then there was Casey Kasem.
Okay.
You know, he would always come on the top 10 countdown, and I would tune in every Sunday. So television wasn't my thing. And today, it's not my thing.
And that's why you're attracted to radio.
That's why I'm attracted to radio.
Very
so
nice.
I never saw the individuals, but they were my, if for lack of a better expression, my heroes.
I see. Well, I am not that familiar with Wolfman or Casey Kasem, but I will say I'm going to Google them after this show, and I encourage everybody who's listening to do so as well, because they obviously were very good role models for you. So
But then growing up in my generation, we didn't hear all the negativity. We was only presented the positive things about the individual. So nowadays, there's just instant information, and there's so much of it that you cannot separate the lie from the truth.
Right.
And so I was very innocent, very naive, and I wasn't exposed to all the what's going on behind the scenes. We were only presented with what was happening, what we're seeing. I'm pretty sure there's some things going on, but we was protected from that.
Right.
And it made me a better person.
Right.
And I really don't get into gossip nowadays either.
No, I totally understand. And honestly, I mean, just kind of me going off here on a pop culture kick, I honestly think that was part of what made show business so special back in the day as opposed to now, is I think you weren't exposed to everything that was going on in that celebrity's life. You know, everywhere they went to eat, everything they did, everybody in their family. So there was a little bit of mystique about them and a little bit of magic. And you sort of, you know, they allowed you to wonder a bit. Just everything wasn't out there in the open. I mean, now you have celebrities tweeting and they're on Facebook, and there's just no mystery about them anymore. And so it's sort of, and that's something I miss about old Hollywood. Not that I was ever really around for old Hollywood, but I do miss the idea that these people back in the day were real celebrities, and they were to me a lot more iconic because not everything about them was out in the open and you didn't see every little nitty gritty thing about them. But anyway, I am going to come back with DJ Mr. Todd in a minute. We have to take a short radio break. You are listening to Just Sayin', and I am DJ Aquarius, and you are listening to radio.dominican.edu.
Prayer and look at me, you do what you do is sad, but it's what you do that sets me free. Will I ever see you again? Will I be able to touch your face? Taking a soul is hard enough, but especially when staring at you, the face, the face.
To Just Sayin', and this is your host, DJ Aquarius, and I am here with my special guest, DJ Mr. Todd. Now, earlier, folks, I introduced DJ Mr. Todd, and we had some technical difficulties, so sadly, you couldn't hear his voice at the beginning of the show, and so I'm going to have to reintroduce him, and gladly so. So anyway, if it sounded like I was talking to myself, I wasn't crazy. there was just some technical difficulties. But anyway, I am here with DJ Mr. Todd, and so go on, introduce yourself.
Good afternoon. This is DJ Mr. Todd.
Awesome. Very good. And so we've worked together before. We worked together last Friday on DJ Noni's show, Finding Your Voice. And that was a lot
time.
Of fun. And you were telling us what draws you to radio.
Yes.
Yes. So tell us about that again.
All aspects of radio. It's just the most important thing for me is just getting the right information out there. Someone can benefit from it.
Right.
I would love to give it. I love to share the knowledge. That's just my nature, sharing the knowledge.
Okay, very good, very good. Now, you have a new show. You're one of the newest DJs here at radio.dominican.edu, and you have your own show that will be coming to us live on air here. So can you tell us about that?
Yes, that is true. My show is centered around males, and the title is It's a Man's World, Men Touring Their World. It kind of fell into my lap. I've always had aspirations to be on the radio, but you know, life was happening and I just put it all in the back burner. And I recently, a couple of years ago, was asked to announce some basketball games. Someone couldn't show up, said, "You have a nice voice, why don't you try to do this?" So I was at College of Marin and I started announcing their men and women basketball games, you know. And I, through recollection, I used to do it in high school, would love to do it in high school. It's always been a passion of mine. And then the word got out, I met Mr. Horn, the teacher. I was doing College of Marin baseball. And he wanted me to come try out for the Pacific Semi-Pro. I said, "I'm pretty busy this summer, da-da-da-da-da." And lo and behold, he didn't know I was a student at Dominican. And I didn't know he was a communications teacher at Dominican. We crossed paths and said, "What are you doing here? What are you doing here?" "I'm a student." "Well, I'm a teacher." "What are you teaching?" "Communication." "What is your—" "I'm psychology." "So I have to get you on the show. You have a great voice. You still want that show?" I said, "I'll think about it." And he saw me again 3 weeks ago and asked me. And I said, "I'll give it a try." Came by, sat in his class, and I was offered a show, and it fell in my lap, and here I am.
Very nice, very nice. So your show is all about a man's world. Why is this a topic that interests you?
I just want to help revive the male image. You know, the last 2 decades, we have been hit pretty hard about what it is to be a male, that we're falling short of our responsibilities and our full potential. So I want to resurrect what it is to be a man and, you know, the birth of a man, what it is to be a man in this society today.
Okay, very good, very good. So now before we went to break, I asked you who was your childhood hero, and you told me that you didn't really have any in particular, but it was more the male figures around the community that you grew up in, but that there were also 2 radio DJ hosts that you really, really admired, even though you never saw them. And so we sort of ended on that note.
Yes, that's Casey Kasem.
Yes.
At Top, I think it was Top 100 Countdown. And then there was my man, Wolfman Jack.
Okay.
You could not resist Wolfman Jack and his voice. It's the way he delivered it.
Oh, okay.
This is Wolfman Jack coming to you live. You know, I was drawn to that. That was it for me.
Okay, very awesome, very awesome. So in a sense, you're sort of following in their footsteps.
Yes, in a sense.
Now, are they still around? Are they still working? Are they no longer with us?
I
How
think
does that work?
my best memory is that Wolfman Jack passed away several years ago, but I haven't heard anything about Casey Kasem, so I may have to Google that.
Okay, all
yes.
right.
Now, you're asking me about heroes from a woman's perspective. What does a hero, male hero, mean to you? And if there was one in your life?
If there was one in my life, okay, let's see. Well, the first one I ever had, oddly enough, was Davy Crockett, folks. Yes, I remember my mom brought home some videos from the library, and one of them was Davy Crockett, you know, King of the Wild Frontier. And I wanted to be the girl version of Davy Crockett. I wanted to wear the coonskin hat, which I actually do have one. I had cowboy boots. I wanted to learn to speak Native American and, you know, live out in the woods and just be a survivor and save my country. So I really wanted to be like Davy Crockett. So he was the first one, and he's still somebody that I hold very close to my heart. And as a matter of fact, this summer, I was traveling down south, and I got a chance to stop off at the Alamo in Texas, and that was really awesome. And so I got to see where Davy Crockett died and everything like that, and that was very special. So it's kind of like fulfilling a childhood dream. And then also, when we were on break, I was telling you about we were discussing male heroes and men in the media, and, you know, old-fashioned men in the media versus the men of today. And Muhammad Ali came up, and oddly enough, we have a picture of him here in the studio. And what's so funny is that I actually met him when I was a baby. Now, I don't remember this, but at the time, I was in Los Angeles with my mother. I was a little arm baby, and he was doing a book signing in a bookstore, and my mom went in with me, and he asked to hold me. And so I was actually held by Muhammad Ali when I was a baby. So because of that, he's somebody that I hold very close to my heart as well. So that's those are my childhood heroes, male heroes. And so that's sort of for me. So not so much on the radio. I didn't really have any male heroes on the radio, but a lot in film, and people that I saw on TV. So those were 2. So but anyway, you were discussing the effect. Something that I know you wanted to discuss was the effect that a male has on a young child, and you were saying that you feel that no matter how wonderful a mother is, and there are a lot of wonderful single mothers out there, that the presence of a father is always very important. So would you like to expound on that?
Yes, it is very important, and you know, it's no matter how great a mother is, there's something about a male's presence. She cannot replace what the father provides for a child. I can't put my finger on it, but it's irrefutable that when a man is present, it's just something beautiful to behold, both for the male child and the female child. Right. I recall recently I was dating a young lady and became very fond of the daughter. And I hadn't seen her in a while. And, you know, over the holidays, you know, they was doing their thing and her birthday was up. So I decided to take her and her 2 brothers out. And it was a sight to behold. And I'm always a punctual person. So I'll be there at 3, I'm there at 3. But this particular day, I had a little errand I needed to run. I was 10 minutes late. And lo and behold, parked my car, turned the corner, entrance to the house. Who's standing outside, ready to go?
Oh, they were waiting
the little
on
girl.
You.
No, the little girl was waiting. And she looked up and she seen me, and her eyes just lit up in the biggest smile that one could ever give and receive. She runs in the house. He's here. Let's go. Aww. The boys were still playing their games. You know, it's like, oh, he's here. We got to stop the game. Oh, can we wait a few minutes? And she puts her hands on him. No, we're leaving now because he's coming. Da, 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 da. And I thought that was very funny. So there is different reactions between a girl and a boy when a male is present.
Right. Now, do you think that it's equally as important for a girl to have a father figure in her life as a boy, or do you think that it's more important for a boy to have a father figure in his life?
I think it both plays out, but for the young lady, especially in today's society, if that man is in his true role and really being what society says and what he's been authenticated with, sure. She gets to see the total package. Someone who's respectful, someone who's responsible, someone who's dependable, someone who's there, someone who's caring, someone who's loving. And she gets all of that. And it's just the greatest feeling to know that someone is dependent on you, knowing that you're going to take care of them regardless. And you're a miss when you're not around.
Oh, now, do you feel that, I mean, what is it that you feel like you can do to encourage men to be good fathers and stick around? Because we were talking about the media, and a lot of the media promotes, you know, flashy cars, lots of women, mistresses. And because you're somebody that feels that it's important for men to recognize that it's important to be a good father, how is it that you feel that message can be sent out there? Because it's very hard to do, because there's just, the message right now is not, you know, stick around and be a good dad right now. The message is, and so, I mean, I understand what you're saying about there's, no matter how great a mother is, she can't replace a father, but there are a lot of women that don't have a choice. And I mean, and this stretches across all races. This is not just a minority thing. This is not just, you know, an economic thing. There are a lot of, you know, women that come from great wealth, and, you know, they have a hard time, you know, the man that they chose to, you know, chose as a life partner to be the father of their children just will not necessarily stick around to be the most reliable figure. So what's a message that you feel like you want to send out there to encourage men to be better figures in their child's life?
When you get to know me, you will walk away with this, very important, that it's hard for you to communicate with me if you're talking at me instead of with me. And that's what I try to do with most individuals in my life, especially men. I talk with them positively. I don't talk at them. I never tell them what they should be doing, what they shouldn't be doing. Just talk with them. What is it that you need? I'll provide that platform. And I try to live my life in a way whereby it would be different. Now, it's ironic that you asked that question, because my birth name was given Todd. But most people start calling me Mr. Todd out of the blue, young and old. And it's out of respect. It's the way I carry myself. It's just the way I believe that I should be living my life right now. Just being positive, always doing the right thing. My right may be someone else's wrong. So how way I want to live my life that's comfortable, that's not hurting anyone else, that's providing positive feedback and giving a good image of what an individual should be doing, different stages in my life, I'm down for it. But I never preach to people. I love to talk with them.
Right.
And give them examples. Well, if you try it this way, it's not working there, so let's try it this way. And I think that most men really want to have that conversation, but there are so many underlying issues about communications, even within relationship between male and female. It's even more difficult between males because of the pride and the ego and how dare you, da 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 da. I got all this, I'm a man, successful, I have kids, I take care of them, but there's more to it than that. Just right. Because you have a big house and a lot of money in the bank doesn't really make you a man.
Right.
And there's no really true definition of what it is to be a man that I'm aware of right now. So I'm on the search.
Right.
You know, like they say out there in the streets, I'm on the grind for it. So I'm trying to find it.
Okay. Very nice. Very nice. Now, I'm just curious, what is your definition of a man? I mean, your own personal definition. I know, like, if you look in the dictionary, it would give you, you know, the physical definition of what a man is. But, I mean, to you, but there's no actual definition, especially now because there's so, gender roles are changing so much, and so it's so hard to say, you know, what is for men, what isn't for men. What's your definition of a man? When you think of a real man, what do you think of?
I think of a man who's not afraid to take challenges in life. Someone who, for lack of a better expression, buck the system in terms of within the male population is kind of taboo. It used to be taboo. I don't know how it is today, but to wear pink.
Okay.
You can't find too many men that would really go out and wear pink and be proud to wear, or to really cry in public, or to say I'm sorry, or to ask for forgiveness, or to just really say, hey, I messed up. Can you give me another chance?
Right.
And so for me, that's the definition of a real man. He does not have to work at a big law firm and make thousands and thousands of dollars a month. But in between jobs, if you go out to McDonald's, or you're picking up cans, if you're providing for yourself, if you're single parent, and you're really providing, and you're not putting your family or your child in harm's way. Because once you get all the things, those tangible things that you can really work with, you can tell, regardless of the situation, you still have to keep moving, but moving in a positive direction.
Right. So, the way I take what you're saying is that what you really would like to see with men is for them to be more confident, but not confident in materialistic things or things that are abusive, more confident in their sensitivity or their vulnerabilities.
Yes.
Things like that.
Yes.
Yes.
We're given those emotions for a reason.
Right.
There are so many men running around today that are angry about the way things are. And, you know, they walk around tough. And I think there's a play out, Stars Island Payne said, men cry in the dark, which is very true. They won't let the public see their real persona. But once behind closed doors and when they're one-on-one, man, I really messed that up, man. I need your help, dog. Man, how can you help me?
Right. Da, 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 da.
But once the doors open up again, step back, oh, man, I got to represent, man. I got to represent. You know, no, I ain't no punk. But yeah, still, you were just telling me 10 minutes ago you needed help and you're hurting on the inside.
Right.
And it's very common. That's why you have those feelings for a reason. Deal with it.
Right.
In a positive manner.
Now, I have a question for you. Do you feel like men have an easier time opening up to women or men? Because something as a woman, I can tell you, women are what I consider to be very homo emotional. We usually look for other women to put our feelings, pour our feelings out to, such as, you know, if I'm, you know, having trouble with the boyfriend or whatever, I usually look for another woman to tell about my troubles. Do you think men are hetero emotional or homo emotional? Because are men comfortable expressing themselves to other men, or would you prefer to talk to a woman about it?
You know, when I'm in my mid-20s, I'm always comfortable with women because I always felt as though the baby boy syndrome was on me, and I really had broken away from my mother, even though she was deceased. I still had that. I needed that comforting. I needed that motherly love. I needed that motherly embrace. There's something about a female's touch that's very appealing to me. But there was a time when I had to put all that away, and I had to steal away and start dealing with men. And I'm not talking about on a homosexual tip, but I'm talking about, hey, man, I'm hurting over here, man. There's some things I want to tell my woman or my lady, but I can't tell her. So I need to tell you, man, this is going on, da, 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 da. So it's an individual thing. It's right. Going on with my relationship with my mother. She was my girl.
Aww.
My mother was my girl. You know, so I'm always attracted to women who have that motherly figure and, you know, just really help me out.
Right.
And comfort me. Instead, soothe me with the words and say, everything's going to be all right. Instead of, you know, you go to the guy, oh, man, forget about that, man. Just move on, man. You know what I'm saying? Tomorrow's going to be a better day. He's like,
yeah.
What?
That's not what you want to hear.
That's not what I want to hear. You know, talk to me, you know. And I wear my emotions on my sleeves, but I control it.
Right.
You know, I used to be very hardcore, you know, like, not hardcore, but I used to be very stoic.
Right.
Kept all my feelings, like, I didn't know who to talk to about my problems.
And that was an image in the media that was given to you. I mean, always the Clint Eastwood type character, mm-hmm. the Arnold Schwarzenegger type character, you know, big guns, you know, no emotion in the face, just always tough.
Right. That's exactly what we've been talking about. It's a man's world, the male role belief system. These systems that we have in place that has programmed the males to believe that they have to live that way.
Right.
They do not have to live that way. They can still show emotion. You can still cry. You can still laugh. You can still show, hey, man, I'm hurting. What do you mean you're hurting? Well, I was offended when you said something about this. What do you mean, man? You're man up. You know what I'm saying? It's like, man up. I am manning up. I'm letting you know that I was offended.
Right.
So that's manning up instead of saying, oh, man, I'm going to have to take you out and I'm going to meet me outside. To me, that is the weak way out. But when you stand up and say, hey, man, I was offended. I'm not mad at you. I'm drawing my boundaries. I'm letting you know. Say, hey, that's not cool with me. Well, we talked about that last month, but I've grown up since then. I understand that that really hurts me. And I was laughing then, too. But that hurt me when you said something about my mama.
Right.
And da, 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 da. Well, I was only joking, but you can't make those jokes with me anymore. I would respect the fact that you can do better than what you're doing. So I'm letting you know that, please, in the future, try to limit your jokes about my mom.
Right. Now, you know, it's interesting because as a girl, whenever I'm talking to other girls, I've always said I don't think I would enjoy being a guy very much because guys always seem to be so limited in what they talk about. If you listen to two men talking to each other, it's just like, hey, dude, how was the game the other day? Oh, yeah, man, it was awesome. Awesome. Hey, you seeing that chick tonight? I mean, there's nothing. You know, there's not a lot. There's not a whole lot of real talking and beefy conversation going on. It's just sort of a few words thrown out here and there. And it's just sort of, I mean, for me as a human being, I would feel very unfulfilled. And I don't know if that's just a female thing or if that's a human being thing. And, you know, it's, I mean, what do you think about that? Do you think it's people need that, or do you think that's just a woman thing and just chicks need that type of real type of hefty discussion?
You know, it's funny that you mentioned, because those are the very things I've been researching for the last 10 years. You know, I used to do anger management and domestic violence, and you know, I cut my teeth there at San Quentin, and some of the stories that I would hear, and I would just watch these gentlemen in action. The handshakes, the way they looked at each other, the way they communicated with one another, and then out on the streets, it's like they're not talking about anything. They're either talking about the latest pair of shoes, the ball game, or the new woman.
Right.
It's very few conversations. Oh, man, my daughter, man, she's doing this. My son's doing that. So it's very limited, like you said, when it comes to that. And there's nothing wrong with showing off about your family, talking about the joys of your family and what it is to be fatherhood. It's like, oh, you going home, man? Oh, you henpecked, man. Man, I'm going home where it's safe and warm, and I know that I'm loved. Oh, man, you know you don't fell in love. You ain't a homie no more. I'm still a homie, but, man, I have obligations. I have responsibilities.
Right.
You know, I have a little one is at home waiting for me. This is a funny story. Just take me a minute. I remember one night, it was a Friday night, and I was putting on my shoes. It's about 9:30, 9:15, and I just wanted to go out what I call turn a few corners. Little girl looked at me. She said, where you going? I said, I'm going for a ride. She said, no, you know. I said, well, what do you mean? Because you always read to me before you go to bed.
Aww.
Before I go to bed. So if you leave now, you can't read to me. And if you don't read to me, I'm not going to sleep well because the boogeyman's going to get me. And you love me, and you don't want the boogeyman to come get me. So that means that you cannot go on your ride, and you have to stay here with me.
That's very sweet.
And she said, well, I don't feel like going to sleep, but we will watch a movie together.
That's sweet.
And 5 minutes into the movie, she falls asleep. But I wasn't ready to go out because it touched my heart.
Right.
To know that, hey, someone's really missing me. And she meant that.
That's beautiful. Do you think there's something in men by nature that wants to be needed, that wants to feel needed? Is that just...
It's just a human thing. Everyone feels they want to be needed and they want to be touched because the human touch is a powerful thing.
Right. But I mean, as a man, do you feel the need to really want to provide more, just to be there and know that you're providing for your loved ones? Is that a male thing, or do you think that's a human thing?
It's a human thing, but I think society, the male role belief system has put more on it. That's why I think that you have so many individuals say, I have to take care of my family. That's why I'm out there per se hustling. So they have that pressure to go out and pursue the material things at any means possible.
Right.
So there is that, hey, I want to be proud, to say, hey, that's part of me. The man does this. He opens the door. He makes sure his kids eat before he eats. He makes sure they're laced up in the proper attire, let down with the Jordans. That's part of the game.
Right.
But yet still, there are some who take that out of context and they go a little bit overboard. Do you need all the material things at that time? Can you afford it?
Right.
I'm not talking about financially. I'm talking about emotionally.
Right.
Psychologically. Can you afford that? If you're out there doing it, what is given to the child when you're out there trying to provide in that environment that you're in?
Right.
Wouldn't it be better for you to be at home providing an emotional support? Like the little girl told me, she said, no, I have everything I need. If you read to me, the boogeyman is not going to come get me.
Right.
And I could have said, well, I need to go out here and make this money so I can buy an alarm system so he can protect you. But no, I was her protector. I was her knight in shining armor.
Right.
And when she said that to me, it just dawned on me and said, man, I'm being a positive role model.
Right.
You know, I reduced my drinking I reduced my going out, you know, say turning corners, because I knew someone was watching me.
Right. And I've always believed that I think it's always more important to give to a child physically than, I mean, not physically, but emotionally more so than materialistically. You know, I always think that it's better for a child to be raised by a homeless person that has absolutely nothing materialistically to give them. I mean, materialism is, you know, part of parenting, and you want your children to have nice things, but I would rather them be raised by somebody that's going to give them confidence and self-worth and let them know that they're loved and not have very much than be raised by a millionaire that's going to neglect them emotionally. I think there's far more damage done when you're neglected emotionally.
I don't think they're really raised by the millionaire. They're raised by Nickelodeon and Xbox and cell phone and Facebook, you know, they don't have that interaction with the parent. And, you know, when I was growing up, I would always sit around the radio. We go back to that three station thing again.
Right.
You know, I was remember listening to Ali fighting on the radio and popping popcorn, sit beside my father. He's teaching me how to box it. See what he just did there? I mean, you hear what he just did there? It's just the illustration. It was a picture that was painted to me. And that's where I began to fall in love with boxing. And I'm just not start taking it up again just to get my conditioning in. Not that I'm going to get back in the ring, but it's just a form of discipline. Everything is starting to come full circle for me again by my childhood. Now that I'm in this space, this journey that I'm on, I'm in a different place, which is heavenly.
Right. Well, now, what role did your father play in your life after your mother passed away? Did she pass away when you were very young?
Oh, I was 23 years old.
Okay, all right. So not drastically young, but still, at any age, it's a...
Well, he was there, but I think because of his pride, he didn't want us to let on that it was hurting him. And he really didn't say too much about her passing, or he rarely mentioned her name. And I understood that, hey, this individual is hurting.
Right.
He's really hurting. I would try to go talk to him. Oh, yeah, da-da-da-da, brush me off. Or what about this? What about the game? I said, Fops, I didn't come to talk about the game. How you doing, man? Mom's is gone. How you coping? Who's cooking for you? Who's doing this? You know, I just sleeping by yourself. Well, what's going on? Do you need anything? No, I'm a man. I'm all right. You know what I'm saying? Pops. Right. Come on, man. I'm just trying to check in with you. So I understood that he was just hiding behind the male role belief system.
Right, right. So do you feel like being tough actually makes you weak? Do you feel like that's actually weakening you, always being macho about something? I mean, I think it's good to be strong, because I think just going around and just being uber sensitive about anything, male or female, is not necessarily a healthy
thing. It's very unattractive.
Yeah, you have to grow a backbone and, you know, realize that life is hard sometimes and march on. But do you think that just always is this macho sort of, I'm a man, I'm fearless, I feel and fear nothing. Do you think that's unhealthy?
It is very unhealthy, in my opinion. It's in my opinion. There should be a homeostasis about things, you know, a balance. There are times when you need to be aggressive. There are times when you need to show your strength. There are times when you need to just take the back seat. And I always tell individuals, like, when someone is approaching me very hostile, like at the basketball game this past weekend at Dominican, the opposing guy was doing something. His father was very upset at the students. They was chanting, who's your dad, who's your daddy, and daddy's boy. You know, I had to smile on my face, because I thought it was very genuine that they would get in this kid's head like this, but I didn't think the father would react the way he reacted. He looked over at me as though that I was not supposed to show a smile or anything, and he had this look on his face like, come get some. I said, sir, excuse me, I don't know you, but I'm not a fighter. I understand what the kids are doing, and it's going to be okay. And so with that said, back in the day, when I was in my early 20s, I would say, what you looking at like that? You know, right. So I had to show some strength. I had to take the high road. That's what it's called now. So he didn't affect me. He was only using me as a sounding board. Say, hey, I'm offended. And I was the closest male to him at the time to express his displeasure in what was going on.
Right.
So after the game, I just happened to walk out and say, you know, I'm going home. I was walking with another DJ co-host with us, DJ Rose.
Oh, okay.
And we were just walking along. All of a sudden, I felt this presence. And I turned around, there he was. He wasn't coming towards me, but he was going towards the students. So I gently touched his hand. I said, is it worth it?
Right.
Those are teenagers. They're freshmen. They're having fun. There was all gestures that was done in jest. That's all it is. It was done in jest. Well, somebody need to teach them a lesson. I said, what lesson are you going to teach them? At what expense? Because you're in Marin County, and if you hit one of those kids, they allow them to jump on you. And then, for self-defense reasons, you will be arrested and charged with a felony.
Right. So self-control.
Self-control. And he looked at me like, yeah, you're right. And I just diffused the whole situation. Someone came over. He thought him and I were going at it. And I told the individual, I said, no. I got this. Back up. Back up. I'm calming him down. We're not fighting. I'm trying to calm him down. Oh, that's what you're doing. I thought you guys was going at it. I said, no, I'm calming him down because he's upset about what he was hearing. But the individual thought that I was being aggressive. I said, no, I'm diffusing the situation. Right. And the guy actually apologized and said, man, I appreciate what you did because I was going to go out to those kids. I said, it's no problem. Well, I understand. Great. And so with that said, it took a lot of a man in him to stand up and say, okay, you're right. But he could have just pushed me to the side and say, forget you. I'm going to do what I have to do.
Right. Now, do you think in terms of media, do you think there needs to be less characters such as the Terminator and characters like that? And there need to be more characters, more male characters that are vulnerable and I don't want to say sensitive because that can get a little bit too obnoxious.
But you have to understand the society we're living in now. Everyone loves aggressiveness. Everyone loves controversy. There's something about violence nowadays. There's something about chaos, mayhem. That's what's happening nowadays. Until those spirits are removed or harnessed, we will be able to say to another man, hey, man, I'm going to get my nails done. I'm going to get a manicure. I'm going to get a pedicure. What do they call it? Metrosexual?
A metrosexual,
yes. Yeah, so you would be able to. Right now, society is not ready for that.
Right.
I know it's big on the East Coast amongst rappers, but you say that now in Marin, Cali, and Southern California. It's probably certain places are doing it, but back in 20 years ago, I was getting my nails done. I used to go with my godmother and get my nails done manicure. When right, they was eight yeah. bucks, now they're 15, so can't afford that. And there's nothing wrong. I always said yeah. that, hey, they're nails. They have nails. I have nails. You can't determine a male's fingernail from a female's fingernail. It's like cuticles need to be cut and cleaned and everything like that. It's like, what's the problem?
Right. Well, the other day on the internet, it wasn't even on the internet. It was actually on the Wendy Williams show. I saw a picture of Snoop Dogg and he had a French manicure.
So nah, that's a bitch much. Now, there has to be a balance. Now,
there
has to be a balance. I can't say.
Yeah.
I can't judge that. If it's working for him, it's working for him.
I think it's just a Snoop Dogg thing. I think he's one of the few people that could actually pull that off. He's just, we'll let that be a Snoop but Dogg thing.
But being a psychology major I am, what attention does he want? He's, you know, his career is coming to an end.
Is it?
And he's at a certain age whereby, you know, he's a grandfather rap now. So he had to come up with new ways to make money. So maybe he needs that attention. Who knows?
No, he's an interesting one because we're talking about men and rappers and the image that they portray on screen and then the image that they have that, you know, who they really are at home. And he's always talking about, you know, he's a self-proclaimed pimp and all of this on, you know, in you know, his music videos. But then, you know, from what I understand, he's been with his wife for a very long time and he has three kids and I you know, he publicly calls her the boss lady all the time and he seems to really adore her. So do you think that's a side of himself that he should reveal more and put that out there? And so
why should he?
Well, I don't know. You told me because you're telling me.
No, seriously. Like, why should he? If that's his gimmick and he's making money and his stockholders, meaning his consumers who buy his products, do not have enough with them to know that this is an act. It is art imitating life. He's providing for his family. Why does he have to let them see that other side?
No, that's true. You have a point as well.
As long as his family sees it, his daughter, his sons. But yet and still society, once society gets fed up with it and they see through all of that, they're the ones that keep it going.
Right.
So he's an entertainer.
That's true.
So he has found a niche in life and he's running with it. He's going to ride it till the wheels fall off, as they say.
That's true. And to be honest with you, I don't blame him. I mean, if I was making that kind of money, I probably would.
And who's to say with the French manicure is what it's called?
Right.
That someone did not pay him thousands of dollars to do that.
That's very true.
Never can tell.
That is very true. So you don't feel like the artist has any responsibility whatsoever. You feel like it's all about the consumers and we as the consumers.
No, that's not what I'm saying is that we as consumers have to be more careful of the products that we're buying and the image that we're buying into.
Right.
They have a right to do everything that they're doing. It's their right. It is our responsibility to say, no, I'm not going to buy this.
Right.
This is not good for me.
Right.
I can't do it. Just because I can go in Walmart and buy a shotgun doesn't mean that I need to go buy a shotgun. For what reason? I'm not afraid of anyone, and no one's afraid of me, or no one's threatening me. So why do I need to go buy a shotgun and put it in my window to let the world know I have a shotgun?
Squirrel hunting?
That going to do? What is that doing? That's drawing attention. Oh, he think he's bad.
Yeah, that's
he's
true.
A shotgun. So I don't need that.
Right.
So that's not where I'm at. So maybe he needs that in his life. That's not me.
Right.
So I've learned through experience that what fits for one man may not fit for the other. I don't know what the brother's going through or how he's making his money.
Right.
More power to him. But it's my responsibility to see if I want to listen to that or not.
Right. Now, just a quick question for you. Do you think that the media is responsible for the amount of single mothers that are out there now? Because do you think that all this, you know, promotion of men being, you know, players and hustlers, and do you think that that's contributing to so many single mothers out there?
Yeah, I do believe that, but on a small scale.
Right.
You know, they're giving society what they want.
Right.
Society is buying into this.
Right.
It was going on back in the day when we had my three channels.
Right.
There's nothing new under the sun. We just get more exposure and more of it constantly, constantly, constantly. This stuff was going on way before I got here, and it would be going on after I'm here. It's the amount of exposure that's been bought and how society is buying into it, and they're beginning to be a norm now.
Okay, I see. Well, just another question for you. Do you feel like Barack Obama has done anything, President Barack Obama has done anything to, I don't know what's the term I want to use, make the image of being a dad cool? Because you see this guy, he's the president of the United States of America, the most powerful country, you know, until China takes over, which is going to happen soon, folks. And, you know, he makes it look fun. He's got two beautiful girls. They really seem to adore him. Do you think that he's making it cool to be a dad again, and a dedicated dad and a dedicated husband?
But I just can't say President Obama is responsible for anything like that. There are a lot of men out there, a lot of preachers out there. There are a lot of grocery store clerks. There are a lot of men who are returning to school that are in the army. And those are the type of individuals that go home every night to the gate. So I just can't say that Barack Obama is the hero in terms of fatherhood, of being a positive father. There are many of others out there are doing exactly the same thing that he's doing. He's just on a higher platform with more viewers to monitor him.
Right.
So I applaud what he's doing. It's a great thing, but yet still in your local community, there's still some other men that are doing that and some with their children. Some have two and three jobs to make sure that their kids can go, that their children can go to college.
Right.
And we need to start applauding those individuals. They may not be driving your big fancy cars. They may not have on your fancy suits. They may not with your bling. You may not see them, but yet and still, they're providing for their family. So those local heroes, wherever you are, I applaud you, I appreciate you, and I thank you for being that positive role model.
Awesome. Very cool. Well, we are almost out of time here at Just Saying. So would you like to clue the audience in once again about your show before I close out here?
Once again, this is DJ Todd, Mr. Todd, and my show is called It's a Man's World. Men touring their world. We talk about anything from health issues, relationship, communication styles, anger management, and emotional needs.
Awesome. Well, that's going to be a great show, folks. And when is it going to be on?
Every Wednesday, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m.
Awesome. Thank you. And you always know where to find me, DJ Aquarius, here every Wednesday from 4 to 5 p.m. And next week is going to be Oscar week. The Oscars are coming up this weekend, and that's what we will be discussing next week. So please tune in, and thank you for joining me today. This is radio.dominican.edu.
We're clenched in fists of rage. No angel born in hell could break that Satan's spell. And as the flames climb high into the night, to light the sacrificial rite, I saw